The Secret Origins Podcast, Episode 22. Welcome to the 22nd episode of the Secret Origins Podcast. We have been going unlimited for a while now. I am your host, TF John Mike, and joining me is Lupus Convoy. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, I'm pretty good, pretty good. Tonight, the Secret Origins Podcast is being Ustreamed live. So, yeah, there's probably going to be a lot more wackiness in this episode. So what's going on with you, sir?
I'm snowed in.
I actually went out in the snow. Well, it's not that much snow here, but the road, like the parking lots and back roads are all really, really icy still, so.
Yeah, no, we didn't even bother with that. We stayed in. We're like, yeah, 2 feet of snow.
Yeah, we didn't get that much snow, but. Yeah, Massachusetts always gets hit that hard, but here in Louisville, Kentucky, we didn't get that much, but still the roads are horrendous. With me, I've been launching new podcast ideas, all kinds of good stuff like that there. That's pretty much it. I'm still trying to find that 3-pack JLU 2010 Batman, Joker, and Grey Ghost based off of the Batman the Animated Series designs. Let's see, what else? I can't think of anything else, so we are going to get into some episodes.
Gotta visualize.
Visualize? What the heck does that mean? If I don't visualize a mortgage payment soon, the wife will have me bagging groceries for a living.
She's always been an ice queen, that one.
Captain Boomerang, you old son of a wallaby.
Mirror Master, Captain Cold. Does me good to see the old faces. Even the trickster.
We heard you were out early.
Time off for good behavior, you might say. I cut me a good deal. Got my sentence down to 5 years. And now they tell me I'm reformed.
Reformed? The man who robbed an entire fleet of armored cars in 1 month?
Now that was a crime.
Yeah, too bad the Flash busted you and you didn't get the chance to spend a dime of it.
And you know what else?
Well, at least he didn't make me eat my own laser kaleidoscope.
That's a rumor. A complete exaggeration. And anyway, it was a laser pistol.
It's like that time I stole an entire train while it was moving. The way people tell it, you'd think the Flash shoved my coal gun.
You know, I've had him on the ropes too.
Yeah, that's the way I heard it. So, we're the hardest men in town.
What'll it be, boys?
Arnold Palmer.
Cherry cola.
Decaf soy latte.
Milk. My ulcer's been acting up.
The hardest men in town, and we all have something in common.
Bilateral symmetry.
First up today is Flash and Substance. In a bar, where all of Central City's rogues seem to hang out for four of Flash's enemies, share grievances over drinks, lamenting how Flash has always foiled their various capers, Mirror Master, Captain Cold, the Trickster, and Captain Boomerang. As a final insult, Central City has declared the next day Flash Appreciation Day. Wow, so Flash is actually a fad. Holy crap, I didn't notice that until now. Anyway, and dedicated a museum to him. They decide to work together to kill him. The next day, Wally West spends the morning at his day job, a forensic science technician for the Central City Crime Lab, reminding his supervisor that he's taking half day, while he ducks into the closet and teleports up to the watchtower. Seeing all of his original seven founding members are on assignment, except for Batman, Flash drops hopeful hints about the museum opening, and Batman reluctantly agrees to show up, much to Orion's disgust. While making the rounds in Central City, Flash hears a little girl crying for help inside an abandoned disco club. The girl proves to be an illusion, and the disco has been booby-trapped by Mirror Master, with lasers shooting from the disco ball. Oh, man. I would have preferred laser beams on a frickin' shark. Flash escapes the trap, obviously. Flash receives the key to the city from the mayor, but the ceremony is interrupted by a barrage of explosive boomerangs. Flash disposes of them safely, but then giant rocket-propelled boomerang snatches him up and heads for a mountain. Flash tears out its circuitry, causing it to crash. Batman and Orion find him, telling him there's a plot to kill him. Flash says he still plans to attend the ceremonies. After Captain Boomerang's plot fails, Trickster proposes an elaborate but deadly prank involving 400 cases of fake dog vomit and a wall of metal spikes. Okay. Yikes.
It's the original Trickster. You gotta go with it.
I know. Ignoring him, the three rogues decide to ambush Flash together at the museum. Flash leads them to the bar, where the Trickster is moping. Orion and Batman interrogate him in their usual tough style, but Flash takes a more humane approach. He convinces Trickster that he needs psychiatric care, and Trickster agrees to tell about the other's plan if Flash promises to come visit him in the hospital. As they leave, Trickster cheerfully agrees to turn himself in as soon as he has finished his drink, much to Orion's bafflement. At the museum opening, Batman and Orion stake out the outside, Batman reporting that he has removed all mirrors from the inside. Orion wonders aloud how a buffoon like Flash can be considered a hero or deserve membership in the league. Batman doesn't give him a reply. Flash is signing autographs inside Linda Park, an infatuated TV reporter, slips him her phone number. He is so distracted that he just signs it and hands it back to her. Before starting their on-air interview, Linda checks her makeup in the hand mirror, out of which Boomerang, Captain Cole, and Mirror Master burst. The crowd flees while Batman and Orion rush inside. Mirror Master fires dozens of mirrors from his arsenal, into one of which Linda falls. Flash follows her in, and they are both trapped in an alternate dimension with millions and millions of mirrors. That might take years for them to find the right one that lets them out again. During the fight in the museum, Batman fires a flare into a mirror, marking the exit for Flash. As he and Linda return to the museum, he, Batman, and Orion defeat the rogues. In a TV interview, Flash reports that everyone is safe. Linda laments that the museum has been destroyed and pours out her adoration for Flash. Embarrassed, Wally covers with a joke, "Hey, at least I got to be on TV, and you know how much I like that." Orion realizes that the speedster is actually quite the worthy warrior, and that he only acts the part of the fool to deal with emotional stress and trauma that goes along with superheroics. Though the museum has sustained heavy damage, Flash shrugs it off. Museums can be rebuilt. What matters most to Wally West is that no one was hurt and the good guys won in the end. Now for notes. Supervillains have lives, too.
Visualize. What does that mean? If I don't visualize a mortgage payment, my wife's going to have me doing dishes.
Wally, the forensic scientist. I think this is some sort of callback to Barry Allen. I'm not sure, though.
I think so.
Batman.
They did say they were combining the different Flashes together.
Yeah, they did. They took a bit of every Flash, but it's specifically Wally for the most part. Batman, what time? Orion, it's not black tie, is it? Flying boomerang ship, sweet. I laughed my ass off at that.
The giant flying boomerang?
Yeah.
I can't believe we've all got to chip in for that.
Yeah, really. The Flash rings are most definitely a callback to Barry.
It's not. It's wicked cool to use, but it's such a pain to put the uniform back in.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of hard to get the costume back inside of it. A snot / acid gun. Oh wow, that's strange.
You think that'd be a little oxymoronic?
Yeah, you'd think so.
So does he and the Joker like swap things back and forth?
Because,
I mean, it seems like they'd be great buddies.
Well, the Trickster obviously is a much more, less psychotic than the Joker ever was. No, I mean, he's pretty much toy man for Flash. As far as doing all this stuff, and it's good to note that this is the last appearance or voice role for Mark Hamill in the DCAU. That's not chronologically though, obviously, but this was the last role that he voiced for DCAU was the Trickster, which is very cool. Mirror Master cursing was hilarious when he got in the after he got broken inside the mirror, and they swept him up and put him in a baggie. And as they closed the bag up, he's like, you just know he's cursing.
Yep.
And I did not notice this at all whatsoever until I looked at the credits. Wesley Wyndham Price voices Mirror Master. Alexis Denisoff from Buffy and Angel voiced Mirror Master.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you got for this one?
Okay, so if there's any group of villains out there that are better, are more known than... the whole Bat gallery, I guess you could say. It has to be the Rogues. They've got their own comics story arcs. They're treated like their own, basically like the anti-heroes. They're just there to steal the world. They really don't. They're not. They have their own code of ethics when it comes to the supervillain superhero thing. They don't kill. That's their big thing. They don't kill.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that we get a Rogue episode.
Yeah, this is another Rogue episode, honestly. I mean, yes, we did have Task Force X, but you also have this, even though it centers on Flash, it shows more about his Rogues, and it's not just... That's one of the things that I liked, the fact that they got an additional 13 episodes for Justice League Unlimited, because... I mean, throughout the entire 5 seasons run of Justice League, you've had Superman's villains, you've had Batman's, some of Batman's villains, obviously, not majority of them since the fucking Bat Embargo was going on. You've had Wonder Woman's villains, Hot Girl's villains, GL's villains, and then, of course, now with Legion of Doom in Season 5, you've got pretty much every single villain in the entire cartoon series that has ever been. I was kind of shocked to see I didn't mention this in the last episode, but I was kind of shocked to see Dr. Destiny in with the rest of the villains.
Dr. Polaris and all these really strange characters popping up left and right.
Yep. Yes, very much so. What notes did you have for this one, for Flash and Substance?
The fact that I love that the Rogues give a human spin on the supervillains.
Yeah.
So they're sitting down, they're like, we're the hardest men in town. And then the waitress comes over and Captain Cold's like, oh, I'll have a milk. My ulcer's kicking up.
I know.
You know what we all have in common? Bilateral symmetry. Okay, so we get to see Wally, and he's not an idiot. I love how they actually, like, portray him as somebody that actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to the forensic sciences.
Yep.
He's not some schmuck that just sits there and makes one-liners and has no job.
Yeah. And I think since Divided We Fall, they've wanted to make up for Wally. I mean, Divided We Fall, really, they made up for not even using Wally in that previous season for the most part. But I think here, because it was the final season, they wanted to hit everybody's, you know, all the original seven have stories in this. GL more so in line with Hot Girl's story. But it's one of those things where, you know, they really hit on Flash and they got the homages in that they wanted. And it played out really, really well.
What else? Oh, we had a comment about Waller. Which, yay, Waller! Beth's being guilt-tripped by the Flash.
Oh, I know it.
And I was like, is Wally seriously trying to guilt-trip Bruce? Really?
I know it.
And he did. He succeeded.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Let's see. Disco Kills.
Yeah.
Taking turns is dumb. Let's all do it at once. So there, I don't know if anybody else caught it, but there's a Kid Flash costume cameo in the museum.
Yep.
So how long has Wally been at the job?
I mean,
who was the original Flash then?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
And then 5,000 rotten eggs and a chainsaw. It's like, what exactly are you going to do with 5,000 rotten eggs and a chainsaw? Do we really want to know? I mean,
no.
It's kind of like the Nina Kimberly moment where you hear nothing but like whisper, 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 and then I grab a garden hose and whisper, 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 and it makes the whole horde of barbarians go, oh my god, and we're sorry, we're sorry.
Yeah, I like the trickster. What I really liked about this episode was the fact that, you know, like you said earlier about Flash actually being smart and doing the whole thing. What I also like is we're getting to see him in his own element in Central City. However, Wally West does his superheroing when he's not a part of the league, and we see that he's well liked by he knows almost everybody in the damn town, and he actually sits there and talks to the trickster, and you know. And I really like that.
Different types of approaches based on the different villains. You know, yeah, he's going to go beat the crap out of, you know, Captain Cold. And he's sitting there and having the witty repartee with Mirror Master. And Mirror Master's like, it's going to take you a minute to come up with a good line. Just die. Yeah. But when it comes to the trickster, is like, you haven't been taking your meds. Okay, after your beer, you turn yourself in, right? Oh, yep, you caught me again, Flash. Yep.
Yeah. It's just awesome. I love that.
And then the boomerang off. Captain Boomerang versus...
Oh, yeah.
Versus Bruce, who's like there with his little batarang.
Yep. Boomer versus batter.
That is all I've got for this one.
Yeah. So, we are going to move on.
Humble one begs your forgiveness. But no outsider is permitted in the temple of Nanda Parbat.
That's cute, kid. Get out of the way or I'll spank you.
This would also not be permitted.
Little Bruce Lee's got your number. Lucky thing you've got us for backup.
This humble one would not presume to fight you alone.
Now things are getting interesting.
Take them down.
Yeah! You despise me, right?
Bizarro hate Luthor. He'd do anything for him.
Good. I mean, bad. Anyway, take care of those monks.
Okay.
Stand aside or you're dead.
In the fullness of time, we are all dead. This is not the way to end my life.
Next up, we have Dead Reckoning. On Grodd's orders, a team from the Legion of Doom attacks the temple of Nanda Parbat to steal the soul of the temple, containing the psychic remains of thousands of former monks. Deadman, who is in conference with the Master, tries to stop them but is exorcised by Tala and is helpless to prevent Devil Ray from killing the Master. Deadman goes to the Watchtower and possesses Superman's body to tell them about the disaster. Batman vouches for Deadman, having met him before while helping to solve his murder. Batman is also one of the Master's former pupils. While puzzling over what Grodd is planning to do, Deadman slash Superman says he can feel the psychic presence of the soul, but can't narrow it down any further than Africa. Realizing that Grodd has returned to Gorilla City, Batman radios Solovar, who tells him that the city is under attack at the moment. Batman, Wonder Man, and the possessed Superman arrive outside the city. Deadman leaves Superman's body to slip through the protective shield and find someone to possess in order to shut it down. The Leaguers fight their way into the city, and Deadman possesses Wonder Woman in order to attack Devil Ray, but decides not to kill him. Inside, Grodd and Luthor places the soul, which Grodd describes as an exotic power source, into the force field generator, creating a device powerful enough to send out a planet-wide energy field. Luthor assumes that Grodd plans to extend a mind control signal over the Earth, but instead, Grodd reveals his master plan is to rewrite human DNA and transform humanity into giant apes. The signal reaches out and transforms the Justice Leaguers, but they manage to destroy the soul, turning themselves back into humans and restoring the monks at Nanda Parbat to life, including the Master. Devil Ray sneaks in and aims his weapon at Wonder Woman. Deadman instead takes over Batman's body, grabs a gun, and shoots Devil Ray, knocking it backward into an open panel and electrocuting him to death. When Batman regains control of his body, he is disgusted at having any part in killing someone with a gun. At the Legion of Doom's headquarters, Luthor is disgusted that Grodd had such a stupid master plan, as we all were. On the grounds that Grodd's master plan, one, didn't work, and two, was simply silly, Luthor stuns Grodd during a council and declares himself the new leader. Back at the Master's temple, Deadman finds the Master alive and well. He tells Deadman that killing Devil Ray upset the balance of life in the universe, and Deadman will be trapped on Earth until he atones for his sin. Your thoughts, good sir?
So Devil Ray recovered from the Wonder Thighs attack. Boo.
Yes.
Little Bruce Lee has your number. So, it's never actually explained how this happens, but Grodd freed Tala from the mirror that she got trapped in by Faust back in the balance.
Yep.
Yeah. What am I doing in Africa? Justice apes, unite!
I loved Wonder Woman's... Oh, come on!
I know! I know. Hey, no, Batman can't use a gun. Oh.
Well, it wasn't him.
I know, but still, it's the fact that, you know, I mean, I get what they were doing there with Dead Man possessing his body, but still. Holy shit.
What?
I'm going to have to go back and screen cap that. Because it reminds me of the Rebirth. Batman Beyond the Rebirth, part one, where they show Bruce Wayne's last adventure as Batman. And he ends up having some sort of, like, the beginning stages of a heart attack. And he has to basically hold a gun. His whole arm is shaking, but he holds a gun like this and it's kind of shaking at a criminal until the criminal runs away. So this, wow. I did not realize that till now. This scene of Batman holding the gun is almost as similar as that. Wow. I did not notice that. And then Lex takes over. I was going to wait for a few weeks, but nah.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
What about you? What do you got for this one?
Oh, okay. So I will say first off, oh my God, it's Live Man. And for people that don't get that, Dead Man, the dead person in the comics, currently has the white lantern ring of life. And is back alive. So the big joke is, he's not a dead man, he's live man. He has no abilities whatsoever, but to walk around and be human.
Okay.
Go live man. I love the fact that Boston Brand has got like a Boston accent.
Yep.
Oh, like, yeah. Honestly.
I wonder if, you know, they referenced that Batman once helped him solve this murder. I wonder if that was ever an episode of Batman the Animated Series.
I don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't feel like looking it up at this point in time.
What else do I got? I've got so the sudden appearance of a character that we haven't seen before. Her name's Rampage, and she looks like a Butch Bulldyke version of Starfire.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
It's was scary actually when I saw her. I was like, what the hell? We get Bizarro back, which very confusing when they're talking, and I'm like, wait. Why are they going back to normal talking? I don't...
Go back to normal talking.
Oh, they did.
Did they?
Yep, they talked in Bizarro talk, and then they talked in normal English.
Oh.
I was like, wait, what? And then the master going, this is not the way to die for me, and, you know, blocking all the gunfire. And then they just blow up the arch over him. Like, well, that's the end for you. Sorry.
Well, yeah, but still, all of Devil Ray's little stingers things there, yep. That was kind of an awesome scene, though, seeing the master repel all that.
What? Oh, and it was like, oh, look, it's Aang versus everybody. We're crossing the streams here, folks. We've got Avatar. let's see. That's funny. Okay, so Goldface showing up. Holy shit, Goldface. Yep. Obscure Green Lantern like villain. And you know who he's the rogue of?
Oh no.
He's Guy Gardner's rogue, baby. Yes, I threw him in this episode too.
But Guy Gardner is nowhere near. Guy Gardner is nowhere near this cartoon.
Comic. He's in the comic side.
Cartoon. Side. This is cartoon. This is not comic.
I love the fact that Lex, when he was turned into a monkey, hairless ape. He's like, I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that.
So obligatory. Okay. The good guys won. Obligatory. Oh, look. Here's Lex. Sudden and inevitable betrayal.
That's so funny.
We got to see some lasso action. And,
I thought she was going to... When she used the lasso, I thought she was going to grab somebody and make them tell them the truth.
Now she's using him like a flail.
Well, yeah, I know that now, but when I first saw this episode, I thought that's what she was going to do.
I was thinking, but... No. She smash.
Yes, Wonder Woman smash.
And then at the end, Tala, you whore. I had great respect for you, and, you know, you seem like the very modern woman, very self-centered, very controlled, and very, you know, empowered. And now you're just trying to sleep with anything that moves. So what were you doing with Waller?
Wait, what?
If she's going from, like, boss to boss, you know.
Oh, no, wait a second here.
With Waller.
Wait a second here. Hold the phone.
Because Waller was the one in charge.
No, there's... No.
I'm just putting that
there's
out.
There's no way.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes. There's absolutely no way that Tala and Waller... there's no way that Tala and Amanda Waller were lesbian lovers. No way.
Oh, I didn't say anything about lovers. I think that Waller might have just taken advantage of her.
I don't think so, because we didn't really get to see a lot with Tala at first in Cadmus, and then, of course, once the balance happened and she got stuck in the mirror, we didn't get to see a lot of her then. So I think Grodd somehow – I know this isn't the case, but I'd always thought that Grodd somehow planted some sort of mind control on her or whatever. I don't know. But again, you know, she is moving up in the world. Even though she's a $2 hoe, she's moving up in the world from bestiality to actual humans. Hey. Anyway.
Okay, yeah, the de-evolution ray, I just have to say, from a scientific point of view, that's BS.
What's
you bring it to a common ancestor and then re-evolving them? That's not a de-evolution ray.
What's BS is the fact that Wonder Woman punches the thing, punches the stream, and she's like, that didn't work. What am I going to do now?
Come on, like Superman and Supergirl can sit there and punch laser beams and send it back. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is all I have for this episode, good sir.
All right, we are moving on.
You look well, General. The past few months have been good to you.
Mrs. Waller, due respect, this reassignment is a joke. Never thought I'd become a desk drone.
I can't help you there. Langley all but scrapped Project Cadmus and insisted on your transfer. We're lucky we're not all in jail.
Look, the only mistake we made was trusting Luthor.
Wade, you know better than to dwell on the past.
I'm talking about right now. The Justice League is still the single greatest threat to global security.
I used to believe that too, but remember... we used to say the same about the Soviets. Our enemy is never as evil as we imagine. And maybe we're never quite as good.
Nuts. Don't tell me the bleeding hearts in Congress got to you.
I'd eat them alive.
You would, too. You've got some onions, Amanda.
Then listen to me. I'm not the League's greatest fan, but their intentions are good. I can work with them.
What if you're wrong, though? Turns out the metahumans aren't on the side of the angels. We won't have any way to defend ourselves. Look what happened last year. Superman walked into Cadmus and tossed our best men like a salad.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What's to stop him from doing it again? They're all orbiting us with a space weapon, supposedly decommissioned. That's a much bigger threat than the Russians ever were. If we'd rolled over like this with the Soviet Union, given up our nukes...
we'd all be living under a red flag.
Yes, ma'am, you better believe it. After all our work, what did Cadmus accomplish? You get a reprimand, I'm pushing pencils. And the League gets another base here on Earth, that Metro Tower. When one side loses ground and the other side gains, that isn't a truce. It's a surrender.
It's a different world, General. Learn to live in it.
And finally up today for episode 22, we have Patriot Act. Kill me now, please.
Bam.
In a flashback, depicts World War II mission of the famous spy smasher who invades a secret access laboratory and steals a syringe containing an experimental super soldier serum. Moving into the present, we see that General Eiling, former military liaison for Cadmus, is reviewing the 60-year-old case file. Eiling dines with former colleague Amanda Waller, who has greatly softened in her anti-Justice League stance since the Lex Luthor Brainiac affair. She advises Eiling that the times are changing and strongly suggests that the old soldier should change with them. Eiling is unconvinced, feeling that metahumans can't be trusted and that the Justice League didn't disarm their fusion cannon, and decides to take action. He sneaks into military installation and steals the old Captain Nazi serum. After injecting it into his body... What?
Captain Nazi.
That's what it's...
I know.
The file was called... I actually can't believe they got away with putting that on the file, though. After injecting it into his body, Eiling transforms... What? Did you say something?
Nope.
Okay. After injecting it into his body, Eiling transforms into a monstrous brute of a man with fangs and gray skin, vowing revenge against Superman. Eiling springs to the air with incredible superhuman strength and heads for the one place he figures he can find the Man of Steel. Meanwhile, aboard the Watchtower, Mr. Terrific has a mission for some of the Justice League reservists, Stripe, Stargirl, Vigilante, Shining Knight, and Green Arrow, are dispatched to Metropolis to cover what is normally a job for Superman. The quintet assumes a public relations duty aboard a parade float paying tribute to Metropolis' heroes. The police and fire departments, much to Stargirl's chagrin. The spectators are at first disappointed by Superman's absence, but soon begin to warm to his non-powered teammates thanks to Vigilante's knack for showmanship. However, Eiling disrupts the parade with a thunderous impact and sends the crowd into a panic. At first, Stripe is able to engage him, but even the Justice League's powerful armor is no match for Eiling's doomsday-level strength. Stargirl attacks with little effect, and it is all Vigilante can do to keep the bystanders safe with the help of some local children. Eiling bellows out for Superman to face him, but instead he is faced by Green Arrow, Vigilante, and the Shining Knight, who fare poorly against the powerhouse. Oh, Green Arrow.
Nicely.
Huh?
To put it nicely.
Well, yeah. You would think that Green Arrow would fare a little bit better, seeing as how he's more of a mainstream leaguer than a reservist. But Green Arrow calls the Watchtower for assistance. The only available backups are the Crimson Avenger and Arrow's former partner, Speedy, who corrects Arrow's initial comment of ex-sidekick upon arrival. Oh, God.
Ex-partner!
That's funny. But the new additions are non-powered as well, and after a valiant stand, the Avenger, Speedy, and Green Arrow are knocked cold. The last remaining Justice Leaguer is the dazed Shining Knight, who informs Eiling that Superman is billions of miles away, saving millions of alien lives from a planetary crisis. Eiling is unimpressed and begins to taunt Sir Justin. The former servant of King Arthur tries to remind Eiling of a true warrior's honor and the protection of the innocent at all costs, but it is quickly pounded unconscious. Eiling moves to strike a crippling, perhaps killing blow to the Shining Knight, but is halted by the parade spectators. An old woman admonishes Eiling for the damage and terror he's caused. And when the general tries to speak out against the superpowered threat of the Justice League, he is quickly reminded that the only superhuman being for miles around is himself. Eiling acknowledges the irony, but tries to remind the crowd that the super beings cannot be trusted, and that someday they would need someone like Eiling around. He leaps away, and though they are battered and bruised, the seven soldiers of the Justice League are further appreciated for their efforts, and they are initiated in what the hell is that word? Initiated? In the streets by the children of Superman's home city. Oh, imitated. There we go. I blanked on that. Holy crap. I have two notes for this. That's it.
Okay, go for it.
Another boring episode. I was so bored with this one. I like the fact that Waller shows up again. Albeit briefly. I like the fact that we get more Nathan Fillion as Vigilante speaking out. But yeah. And then he blew up his own motorcycle.
Do what you gotta do.
Oh, man. Yeah. Patriot Act, it's not... trying to be nice here, but
it's not up to the caliber of the last season.
No, not. I know what they were going for in this season. They were going for the whole, you know, much lighter, because obviously, let's face it, Cadmus was very, very dark.
But, that's being nice.
Huh?
That's being nice. That was like adult level, like Watchmen style.
But this episode is so unnecessary. I mean, yeah, we get to kind of see what... Not really. We don't get to see what eventually happens to Eiling after this, but, you know, we kind of see him after the fact of Cadmus is kind of gone and all that, but meh. What about you? Well,
the question is, do we really need to know anything about Eiling?
No, not really.
Yeah, like, it was fine when he got his ass whooped by Batman, who, again, not superpowered. But, yeah, like, we didn't need to know anything about Eiling whatsoever. Like, he could have just disappeared. Gone to, like, Alaska or something.
Yeah, that's very true. So, all right.
Okay. I'm not done yet.
Oh, you're not done yet? Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to tear this one apart. So we've got Captain Natsu, right? With the basically the Captain America, you know, source. He pumps himself up with the chemical in the same syringe. You know, how many years later? 70 years later?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still viable? Really, Eiling, you should know better. The writers should know better. Just no. 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 So they get parade duty. Yay, that's kind of suck, but hey, gets her PR up. Hey, hey. As always, it's great to see Star. Our Star Girl. And yeah, she had powers without the staff originally, but that was a belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get to see Waller back, and I kind of wonder, like, is she really just trying to be the next person to be the liaison for the Justice League? So, yay, they took out the Shriners in the in the parade.
Yeah.
So Speedy, of all random characters, Speedy? Really? Mr. Drug Overdose Speedy? Or Arsenal, well, or Red Archer, or whatever he was?
Well, you had to fit him in somewhere, and since you brought in Green Arrow...
No, they didn't have to put in Speedy. They didn't have to bring in Speedy at all.
He was in there for less than 5 minutes, dude.
Still, annoying little shit. Don't like him. What else did I have down? Oh, so before the whole shebang, yay, they're all human. Nobody... I didn't know if that was, like, an intentional story point, but... Oh, hey, there's... I think that's about all I've got. The next page said, Tala, you whore. So if we know...
Okay, yeah, let's move on then. So we'll be back with the... What?
I will say, though, it was great to see a character that was actually standing up for the principles of chivalry.
Yeah.
And not every other, like, quasi-chivalry concept.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of other SCA members would love this episode.
All right, we'll be back with the outro in a moment.
All right, I've become what I hate. I'll give you that. But in the long run, you'll see I was right. You'll see you need the likes of me to protect you from them.
Don't you worry, Sir Justin. Them 21st century docs are going to have you back on your feet by movie night.
Hold. I have yet to thank you.
No need to thank me, son. You just get better. World still needs protecting, you know.
Come on, let's play Justice League. I'm Shiny Knight.
No, I am. You're the stupid monster. Ha!
Have at thee!
Fine, I don't care. I'm Vigilante. He's way cooler.
Thank you for joining us here on the Secret Origins Podcast. There's several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Damn it. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is Secret Origins. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
Caminiti Style. CaminiTiStyle.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins Podcast. I wish you will join us next time. We'll be reviewing three more episodes from Justice League Season 5. Those being The Great Brain Robbery, Grudge Match, and Far From Home. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, Brain Robbery!